All right, everyone, welcome back to Master of the Universe podcast, our horror edition, and we got a special guest here. We got Mr. Gabe, man. How's it doing, man?
I'm doing all right, not too bad.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, dude. For those of you that know, if you didn't know, now you know, Gabe's the one that did the artwork for our channel, dude, the fucking awesome-ass Mumra, so we give you a shout-out.
You've heard us shout him out a million times on other horror podcasts, now he's here in the flesh.
Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. And, of course, we got the stud, Mr. Christopher J, getting married within about a month or so. So he's super excited, dude. So, you know.
What it do.
So today we're going to be talking about fucking Phantasm, dude. So, Gabe, what was your... I mean, is this like the first time you've seen this film? Or what's your story with Phantasm, dude?
Oh, I've seen this. I used to watch a lot of horror movies growing up, and this was definitely by far, like, one of my favorite movies, like, growing up. The whole thing, like, me just watching it, I honestly thought it was just, like, about, like, Amityville, you know, horror, like, type of ghost type of movie, and no, this thing had, like, weird twists in it. It just left me with a whole bunch of questions. I was just like, man, I love this thing. It was just great.
Yeah.
Just old people running after you. I was like, yeah, that's not creepy enough.
Sure. Yeah, for real, like, when you think about it, like, I mean, now we can just, like, look on the internet and see, like, answers or theories, but, like, when you watch this, like, as a kid growing up, you're like, what the fuck, you know? You're like, what the hell did I just watch? So, yeah, I had the same kind of experience. I think the first time I watched it, I was, like, 11 years old or something like that, so it was, like, really trippy for me. And then during that time, my life was a lot like Mike's in the film, where I was, like, always alone. So I would, like, walk around the street to go, like, I would walk, like, a mile to go to the corner store to buy something, like, late at night and come back. I even started wearing my dad's fucking old school, like, lumberjack kind of long sleeve shirts, like the way, you know, like that style or whatever, because my dad kept everything for, like, 30 years past, you know, from the 70s. But,
I was wearing flannel shirts when I was in middle school. But that's because I was some, you know, Seattle wannabe grunge guy. I was an idiot, you know. But yeah, different reasons. But I agree with you, though, because for me, like, this was a bizarre move. Like, it hooks you because, you know, the thematics of, like, a mortuary, a funeral home, this creepy old man, stuff like that. That hooks you. And just the inherent creepiness of that. But the story really doesn't take much shape where you can grasp what's happening, a pattern, whatever, you know, until probably almost halfway in.
You find out basically when Mike starts, Mike starts trying to explain it to Jody, and he's like, you're crazy, man. You know, like, it's like, there was some guy out here who was trying to get me. There was something on the car or whatever the fuck. But anyway, we're going to get into the film already, dude. So, Chris, give us the specs on Phantasm, released in 1979, son.
Okay, so Phantasm, released on June the 1st, 1979, on a budget of $300,000. At the box office, did $22 million. I'd say that's, oh, a good, you know, what, 10,000% return at least?
Yeah, it did. It did crazy good when you think about it. $300,000, they did all that shit. And, like, if you've seen, like, or you listened to, I should say, the fucking commentary with Don Coscarelli, he you know, he talks about how they would rent, like, the equipment, like, on a Friday, because they would only charge him that one day, and he'd keep it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and return it back Monday. So they filmed it. It took him quite a while to actually do it. I think he said they did it, like, in 77 or something like that, and then they didn't release it till, like, 79 or whatever, and that's that whole, they were recording this shit before Star Wars came out or whatever the fuck, so.
Which is crazy to think about that. And let me correct myself, by the way, before the trolls get on here and start hating on me. It was March 28th, 79. I said June 1st. My bad.
Chris is making up dates now and shit. May the 4th, anyway. So the fucking film starts off, dude. What were you thinking, Gabe, when the fucking thing starts off and you hear, like the ominous, you know, that fucking music, dude, and Tommy's getting himself over in the fucking graveyard, dude.
Oh, man. Right when the movie starts off, you hear that eerie music. But then the moment I see feet, you know, and, like, people getting it on, you know, like I said, when I was younger and I saw this movie, my whole thing was, like, Yeah, boobs. I'm going to see some boobs in here. I want to see some boobs in here. But then this dude ends up dying in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, this is getting intense. What the hell do I even think about this? And then it turns into like a flash of like an old man. Mm-hmm. This just like left me in a whole bunch of questions. So, you know, like as the movie progresses, I'm filled with a whole bunch of stuff. But now watching it like I'm older, now I'm starting to like, okay, well, now I feel like I can make up some better answers or some better conclusions to some of this stuff. But yeah, we have the damn internet, so I can actually try to look up some of the damn reasons for it.
But try to see what the fuck's going on. Like, I mean, I'm not going to talk about it right now, of course, but like just right, the right. ending, you're like, what the fuck? You know, once that ending kicks in, you're just like, so is it, you know? But yeah, when it starts off, yeah, for sure, you're like, okay, they're fucking in a graveyard. And, you know, Coscarelli was talking about how he wanted to right away have like a graveyard scene, just the way, you know, like Frankenstein does, and, you know, from Universal Monsters, he wanted to do something like that. And that is trippy, dude. You're just seeing like you get the sex scene right away, you know, the titties and the fine chick, and then it turns into the tall man. So you're like, what the fuck? And so, you know, Chris, when you first watching this, you got the old J man who's like used to ghost ship, dude. It gets some shaking. But when you're seeing the whole beginning, when that part's happening, what's going through your head, dude?
Yeah, see, that's the thing too. What went through my head with the beginning scene,
besides the spear and shit.
Yeah, I mean, just the mere fact that, you know, you're seeing breasts, you're seeing the sex scene and stuff, and you know it's a 1979 movie film, probably 77, 78, and right away Grindhouse comes to mind, and that rawness that 70s movies had that pushed the envelope, even for a standard theater kind of movie, pushing the envelope of what the culture really allowed back then, that's incredible to me. The old man, the tall man, I'm sorry, not the old man, the tall man.
The old man, shit. They're talking about my dad and shit. Hey, old man.
But like, when you see that, and he has the funeral is about to begin, sir, and first of all, Gabe, let me give you some context here, because Joey's had to suffer through me saying this a million times, and he knows this. I was not allowed to watch horror movies as a kid.
Oh, okay.
So like horror for me, mm-hmm. like getting into this now, it's just kind of it's interesting to me. Like I would have probably different viewpoints and opinions on these movies if I had watched the younger age and have that immediate reference to go back to. But for me, I'm watching this in my 30s, so it's like in my late 30s, really. So it's pretty interesting, pretty intriguing. Now, having said that, the old man just reminded me of like, and Gabe, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 38, and I remember.
I'm the same age, man.
Oh, we're both 38. Okay, cool. So, yeah. Okay, so you know this then. You remember how when we were like kindergarten age, the way old people were back then. Remember how stern they were?
Yep. I know that.
Yeah, so you remember, and so by the time we got to be like high school, you know, it was a younger generation of older people. Like, it was the World War II veterans, the younger World War II veterans. They were a little less stern, and we were also a little older. But it's like, that just reminded me, that just gave me so many flashbacks of, like, being in church when I was, like, five, and some old person, shh, behave, or whatever, stuff like that.
No, and you're completely right, because that's definitely happened to me a time or two. You just get those very stern elderly folks. And they go ahead and they have no shame just telling some stranger kid like, hey, you, calm mm-hmm. down, you know, quiet, you know, mm-hmm. or shut up, you know, just like straight up. And nowadays, you know, if someone were to do that, regardless of whatever age you are, I mean, they're all, don't talk to my kid, don't even look at us, you know, we're offended, how dare you? They need to express themselves. But no, I mean, like when we were younger, I mean, there is some very sturdy elderly folks.
Man, when I was in school, I mean, I know, like you say, you guys are older shit. When I was in school, like, the teachers were assholes. They're, like, complete, like, now, like, you're saying, like, you can't do anything. Even, like, the past 10, 15, 20 years. But when I was a kid, I think about some of the stuff, and I'm like, man, it fucking, School was over back then. You know, the teachers, man, you know, they're fucking. I remember, you know, going off topic with but for Phantasm or whatever. I was in elementary school, right? So I was probably like in second grade or whatever. So I was real young, right? And I don't know why I was doing. I just remember the teacher's response, but I was telling some chick, you know, being the same age, of course. I'm like, oh, you have a big ass or whatever, or a big butt. I said something like that, right? And then it was the vice principal. Her name was Miss Sperling. I still remember her. Like, I remember, she grabbed me aside, or like, I went to the principal's office or whatever, the vice principal. And she, like, I literally remember her saying it because I was like all shocked to hear like someone talk like it. She goes, so you're telling people they got big asses? I started laughing. I was like, I guess so. I guess I'm going to jail for a long time. I'm Miss Sperling. I started winking at her and shit, you know.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, good shit, dude. But, yeah, things were different back then, dude. But, I mean, like, I know y'all guys are a little bit older, dude. Not by much, but,
right.
You know.
Well, the reasoning, like, for me watching horror movies back then, you know, this stuff would come on TV. And, you know, I just kind of got hooked on it, especially, like, you know, like Child's Play, Phantasm. I loved all these movies, Friday the 13th. But the idea, though, was that my old man ended up telling me, he said, look, he says, you know this is not real, right? This is all fake. This is make-believe. Yeah. Do I need to explain sex? No. I'm going to public school. So they can... I pick up everything from there.
Yeah.
So I don't need to explain anything. You know what you're watching? Yeah. All right. Well, go ahead and watch it on your own time. Me and your mother don't want to see all that, you know. So I was like, okay. So pretty much like every Friday, there's Blockbuster, you know. What do you want to rent? Man, I would run to that horror section. I'm like, oh, man, I got to see what new that came out. What, something bloody, something nudity, you know. I'm looking for all that stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, dude. When I was real young, like 10, 11, 12, that was like the, like, I remember, like, watching Bruce Lee movies and, like, yeah, whenever, and everyone would leave, you know. I wasn't into jacking off or anything, but I was like, man, titties, you know. I would just rewind the titties and shit. I'm like 10, I'm like, titties, you know. I would just be like, oh, shit. Then, like, I would rent the movies, and if I liked them enough, like, I would rent them again. But I was like, well, I know, if they had, like, nudity, I was like, well, I know to only watch it whenever I'm by myself, or, like, there's, like, my dad's in the other room or whatever, like, I'd, like, you know, not worry about, like, you know, for certain movies that have, like, a lot of, like you said, Friday the 13th, where there's, like, multiple titty scenes and ass scenes and shit, like, being, like, 10, I was, like, all embarrassed every time a pair of ass cheeks showed up on the screen. I was like, oh, shit, you know. But.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, those were the good old days, dude.
Oh, definitely. I don't know about Chris, but I'm pretty sure I was lumped into the group of kids that were trying to watch the blurry blue trying to get that cheap, you know, Playboy, like, oh man, the thunder hit, my cable freaked out. Oh, look, I'm picking up free porn now.
Is that a titty? I can't tell. I can just hear the bitch, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. I remember those days. It was funny because, like, the TV back then, or at least the one I had, if you didn't have the channel, it would skip over it. Like, it wouldn't pick it up. But if you would, like, stop it, like, because you knew you wanted to get to 99, it would try to pick it up, like you're saying. I remember doing that, like, you know, fucking late at night, I'm over there, like, trying to go to channel 99, and you're like, oh, shit, I hear some fucking moaning in this one.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just, like, trying to, like, wait it out. Hopefully, like, it'll fix itself. But you're just, the whole time, you're like, nope, they're still moaning. No, it's staying out yet. No. I'll wait.
I don't know what's going on the other side, but it sounds like she's having a good time.
Is this Phantasm? Yeah, someone's freaking out, you know.
So I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch any of those channels for that type of material. I'll be honest with you, like, the only time I ever tried watching a pay-per-view channel and didn't order anything or whatever was when I was in elementary, the fucking wrestling pay-per-views, and that was it.
Yeah, I tried too for wrestling too. When I remember WrestleMania 12 came out, I was like trying to get all on that shit, but no. To no avail.
Yeah, see, my parents didn't want to pay for all that pay-per-view stuff. They always thought it was like a waste of money or like a hook to try to get you to pay a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So pretty much like when every time like something came out, like, oh, you know, Hulk Hogan's going to fight WrestleMania doing something or whatever, I was like, oh, man, and it's going to happen this weekend. I just wait until the next day. So all my friends that did get pay-per-views, I kid you not, they would clue me in on all the details. And then Monday Night Raw or whatever, then I would go ahead and just pick up the rest of the story from there.
So, what's it called? Once they kill Tommy, we get to meet everyone actually in the film. We're all way behind over here. We start talking about porno in the Channel 99. But but yeah, so we meet like our main characters, Reggie and Jody, and they're talking about it's hard to believe he killed himself and all that. And they're talking about how they didn't want Mike to go, Jody's little brother, because he had, you know, nightmares for months after the parents' funeral because their parents had died. So we meet everyone right away, and dude, that when that Cuda comes out, dude, and I ain't talking about my over-ass dog. I'm talking about that Plymouth, dude. So I'm a huge fan. Like, I want to give me a fucking Challenger just because it's the only thing, you know, close to being as over as the Cuda did. Did y'all squirt a little jizz for that fucking vehicle, or what's going on?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. I totally just acknowledged that damn car when it first came out. And I was like, well, but what was more impressive, like, was that kid, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I kid you not, that kid was like a damn mechanic.
That kid!
Like, this is a kid working on that damn car. Like, he's under the car, he's working on it, he's doing all kinds of shit. And the older brother is just like letting him, like, yeah, go ahead and do whatever the hell you want to. I don't really give a shit.
I think it's one of these hatters over here or whatever. He's like, yeah, go ahead, check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I honestly don't know too many people, especially, like, I think this kid is supposed to be, what, 13 or 14, right? And then he's messing with a damn car. I mean, like, I honestly knew, I didn't know anybody, like, my age at that time that was touching anything on a car. My old man wouldn't even let me touch my damn car. Touch his truck or anything like that, he'll just get all pissed off. And then this kid is just like having that, and like, why not? Like, he ain't fucking nothing up. He knows exactly what's going on.
Him and Corey Feldman from Friday the 13th Part 4, they're both awesome mechanics.
Yeah, exactly. Your damn car broke down, and the damn Corey Feldman comes out. He's like, oh, don't worry, I think I know what it is. What do you mean you already know what it is? Did you hear something break, leak?
You like the car? The car stopped, just give me a screwdriver.
and if you look at, like, even the house that they live in and everything, like a house
Chris,
in California, obviously...
I don't know if you have something running, but your thing's going kind of slow, and you're like, you're going to hear it, you're going to start laughing, but I'm sure you have multiple streaming devices running, because I could tell your internet's going super slow, dude.
Okay, here, well, you know what? I'll turn off the TV then, because I stream everything, so.
Yeah, no, I can. I already knew. I was like, you know, you could hear there. You could hear them all like delay, and I'm like, oh, someone's getting his ass over with the streaming services over there. But
only talk drinking. But yeah, it could be the internet.
Yeah, the games like, does he normally talk like that?
Your guy had a hard week already.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I was like, Chris, are y'all that CBD run again, son, or what's going out?
So, okay, how's this?
It's still breaking up, but it's not as bad. Like, I don't know if you're connected to your Wi-Fi with your phone too, and you're running something on your computer, and you're because I know, like, even for me, like when I run multiple things, I'm over here troubleshooting for Chris. Like, well, how's that? But so yeah, they're fixing the car. The lady in, like, right away, everything, like, I was rewatching it, because I've seen the movie at least, you know, 50 times, but I wanted to rewatch it, kind of get, like, all the same emotions, kind of get engulfed in the whole Phantasm lore again. And I was like, man, this movie, I used to think it was a slower movie, but, like, it's not slow, it's a quiet movie, but it moves very fast paced, because, like, you know, right away, the lady in the lavender kills Tommy, we meet Mike. Mike goes to the medium and he does that weird shit where he puts his hand into the box, and we meet that one chick that has like the star under her eye and the grandmother, and then right away fucking Jody ends up going to the cemetery with, well, he goes to that Dune cafe or bar, and he meets a lady in lavender again, and then they end up fucking, or about to start fucking in the cemetery, but that's when Mike is all like, wow, and the fucking little gremlin-looking motherfucker, Jawa, comes running after him and all that. And I'm like, man, this movie just started. It's like all this crazy shit's already happened. And I was like writing down notes, like, you know, trying to like remember, because it was like, oh, I was like, wow, all this happens within like the first 20 minutes. I'm like, son of a bitch.
That's the thing, is you have to focus on Mike like the entire time. Because if you're, I made the mistake of the first time I watched it, I focused on Jody, and the story really isn't with Jody. The story is on what's happening to Mike through the body of the movie.
Yeah, well, go ahead, dude.
Well, in all honesty, too, like, I got the same impression, too, when I was watching this. But, you know, I was doing my own little research on this movie itself. And overall, this movie was originally made, like, 3.5 hours. Like, 3 hours, 3.5. Mm-hmm. And this thing got edited so much that there's some gaps in here that it looks like, okay, they're jumping from a car, and then all of a sudden they're in the middle of like a, you know, they're running from some damn monster all of a sudden. But no, well, I think that has to just do with a lot of the editing, just to kind of shorten the damn film.
Yeah, they did a lot, exactly what you said. They actually used a lot of extras in Phantasm IV, a lot of clips from this one, a lot of the unused and gaps, they're all, a lot of them are on part four, so when we get to four, it'll be fun to say, you know, because I remember seeing part four and being like, how the fuck did they get all this extra footage, all being confused, you know, because I saw it like in 97 and shit, or 98.
There's that one real noticeable gap when Michael finally shows Jody the finger that he put in the box, and just the right away it cuts to, you hear his voice saying in that box, but it's not yet at that scene. It's like, oh my god, who did the editing here?
Yeah. There's a lot of cuts, a lot of cut arounds. Like, just going through.
Like, mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry to cut. But just to make a point on that whole finger thing, he is right as far as that. When he did have that finger and they were wrestling with it and it got turned into a monster, it was like an absolute, like, it, to me, it seemed like a huge cut scene right there. Because they were fighting with the darn monster, and they go ahead and throw it.
Yeah.
They go ahead and they throw it in the damn garbage disposal, and they end up killing the darn thing. So they're like, oh, okay. Well, then the best friend ends up coming through.
Reggie.
Reggie, yes. So he comes on through the door, and he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? You know, what's the happening? Hey, you know, I got some ice cream to sell.
He said, hey, Mike, you want to go with me? And he winks at him, right?
He does. So I'm like, you know, not weird at all, but sure, you know. Well, then the damn monster comes out, you know, and they're wrestling with that, and then the friend is like, you know, they go ahead and kill the damn monster again, and Reggie's like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
So they look at him, and
I love when he actually says it like that. What the hell is going on here, you know?
Yeah, and then... But then it just jumps straight to nighttime, and it's jumping with Jody and Mike, and they're loading a damn gun, and they're getting plans to go ahead and search out this place, damn funeral home, Morningside Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, what happened to Reggie? Did he just give up and say, oh, I'm going to go ahead and get ice cream?
Yeah.
Or let me go and sell these kids some ice cream, you know, wink at some more kids. Why not? What the hell happened?
Chris is going to love that, dude.
Yeah, dude, am I the only one to, I mean, like Reggie is just a, like, he's cool, but he's kind of like, it's there's a mild social awkwardness to him because he's so just like, hey guys, what's going on? Like you said, hey, what's going on here? And hey, you go sell some ice cream? And but at the same time, like, what I pop for too, besides Reggie's character quirks per se, what I also popped for was fucking Jody. Like, they go right to that gun loading scene, the shotgun loading scene. All, okay, you don't aim at a man unless you're going to shoot him. No warning shots. Warning shots are bullshit.
Yeah.
So, like, when did this guy become Gunnery Sergeant Hartman?
That's how you do it, dude. Yeah. I love that part. Warning shots are bullshit. Yeah.
Right. Well, earlier in the scene, he's out there playing with Reggie, right? they had a little guitar singing scene. They were all in harmony, you know, having a good time. I think they were drinking Dos Equis throughout the damn movie too.
Yeah.
If you look at their damn beers, they have the little X's.
Yeah. So the brown Dos Equis, yeah, the shitty ones.
Yeah, and then they jump to that damn scene. All of a sudden, he's like reloading up damn guns, and he's like getting ready to go blazing, like start shooting up a place. And I was like, man, this guy's a badass. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell is this guy doing? He's playing guitars, and now he's wielding guns, and he's teaching his little brother to panic to go ahead and wield a gun too. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, they're
a badass.
Yeah, exactly. When you're saying that, as soon as you were saying that, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, he plays guitar. You know, he enjoys himself some good beer. He's got a badass car. He has his own house. He's like 20 years old or whatever the fuck, you know. Fucking, where's the leather jacket all the time? I mean, is there anybody cooler than fucking Jody at 20 years old or whatever the fuck he's supposed to be, you know? Like, son of a... And then, exactly. Then he's got the guns, too. He's got shotguns, handguns, you know, fuck. So... I mean, that was the coolest guy, for sure.
I think overall, this whole damn movie, I think it was missing a damn dog. I think they just needed a badass, like, little pit bull or it's just some kind of, like...
A German really Shepherd, dude, for sure. They would have been the most over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But, so all that shit happens, way in the beginning. And what part did I want to talk about there, or I'm trying to think, was it... Well, you had talked about the funeral was about to begin, sir. And then, he picks up the coffin, and that's where, you know, Mike's kind of, like, freaked out, like, what the fuck? And that kind of sets him on that whole, I want to investigate what the fuck's going on here. And that's when he just breaks into the cemetery that night, or into the, what is that shit called, Chris? Where you, mausoleum?
The mortuary?
Yeah, the mortuary.
Oh, the mausoleum, yeah, that's the wall that holds some of the bodies if they're not buried in the ground, yeah.
Yeah, so he goes into that little mortuary that has the mausoleum, and that's all badass. That was all built on a set or whatever that they used. Like, they had someone built, and like Coscarelli talks about it. He's like, this is a set, and he's like, it's like, that shit didn't move, you know, like, it was built really well. It looks real. It looks like a real funeral home. And yeah, it looks awesome. So that's when he runs into that one guy, and he hides into the casket, and the guy's like looking around, and that's where we first see that ball, dude. So I'm sure you had probably seen that sphere, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm asking. You know, you had seen that sphere prior, but when you saw it again, or what's your you know background with the sphere? Because even as a kid, like that was always like an iconic thing. The way you see Freddy with the knife, where you always see that flying sphere that you know sticks to your head and shoots out blood from its ass.
Oh, well, I kid you not. When I first saw that little sphere, that the first thing I thought of was, like, spaceships. Like, you know how, like, they always have, like, that interpretation of, like, UFOs and aliens? Mm-hmm. And so they have it's all round, but then they have, like, the little flying saucer. It just looks like a generic, like, you know, space alien ship. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of that without the damn, you know, the flat surface around it. It just, but now that I watched it like more recently in my, you know, older years, now I'm thinking like, oh, look, Christmas ornament. I was like, wow. I was like, okay, they were involving Christmas in this. That was my first idea of that little ball. But then that thing came out with little knives, and I was like, oh, God. I was like, yeah, this thing is, now it's starting to really pick up with the whole sci-fi horror.
Are they fucking drilling and screwing into someone's forehead and making fucking 8 quarts of blood shoot out? And what the fuck?
was that your first time seeing that shit, Chris? That spear?
Yeah, it was. And I mean, fucking that low rent mob finger breaker that doesn't see fucking Jody hiding in the casket and then gets called back out of the room
by Mike.
And then he's. Or Mike, I'm sorry, Jen, that joke. Mike. Yeah, I guess just because he looks like a chick. But anyway, so fucking Mike is in this fucking you know $1 million dream Roddy Piper sleeper hold, and he bites his way out before the fucking silver ball hits him. And
yeah,
that dude gets just
the $1 million dream.
Thank you.
So once he breaks out of that funeral home, like, you know, I love when he's running out of there, dude. I don't know if it's – I always get confused. I was actually thinking about when I was, you know, going to talk about it. I was like, I know he runs out of there, and that's when he sees those little gimmick guys. And then I don't know if they run after – well, I don't think no one runs after him. Or no, the tall man is the one that runs after him. He closes the door, and then, yeah, he cuts off his finger, shows it to Jody, and that's when Jody shows up, like, that same night or whatever, or the next night. And that's when he just walks, he just, you know, goes back into that little spot where he broke the window, and that fucking thing just shows up behind Jody as soon as he turns on the little lamp, and that's when he puts the gun behind him, and he shoots that fucking thing. I was like, man, how did he not shoot himself or not be afraid to, like, shoot himself, like, you know, the way he was holding that fucking gun? And that's when he runs out of there, and that's when
they fucking try to squeeze it down the with the like a blue jean jacket. They try to put it down the sinker raider.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, when he stabbed the thing and everything, your thing's still going crazy, Chris. Just for the record, dude. So it's no. But yeah. So that's when they take off out of there. I think Mike actually picks him up, right? That's when he's like he's running away or whatever, and Mike picks him up. He's like, get in, you know. And that's when that the hearse starts driving, going after him. He's like, there's nobody driving. I swear, when I was a kid, I was like, is Mike a chick? Because he sounds like a chick. Even he looks like a chick, too, but his name's Mike, so. Anybody else?
I think I would have been confused about that, too, if they weren't calling him Mike. I probably would have been second-guessing it.
No. Chris, yeah, I think y'all said Mike looked like a chick already, too.
Well, we got a funny story about that we'll let you talk to.
That's right. Remind me once we get to that ending, dude. I'll tell you a funny ass. Remind us, Gabe. But anyway, so I think it's like the next night or something. Jody's gonna go. Oh no! Yeah, Jody's gonna go ahead and it's like multiple things. But Jody ends up dropping off Mike with those chicks that have. And like that's like one of those weird cuts that y'all were talking about too. Now that y'all were saying that, I didn't really think about it. But when y'all brought it up. Like, that's when Jody wants to go drop off Mike with those chicks that have the store, and he sees that little, like, picture of the tall man, like, on some kind of, like, horse or whatever the fuck, like, from the old school. Right. And the tall, like, the photo comes to life, and he's like, you got to bring me home as soon as he, you know, he gets there. And that's when their car gets tipped over or some kind of bullshit from the ice, because they see, like, an ice cream truck. That's what it was. And right. All that crazy shit, dude. So that was noticeably like, what the fuck? How do we end up here? And who are these chicks? Because like, we don't meet them till like this one part, right?
Yeah, and he's all mentioning them. He's like name dropping them and stuff when he goes back to talk to Jody. They got Sally and Susie or whatever their names are.
Yeah,
right.
Like we know who they were from earlier.
Honestly, I had no idea who they were, but if you look at the end credits. One of them is actually the girlfriend of him, which I don't even remember him actually explaining, saying, yeah, taking him to my girlfriend's place.
Oh, you know, no, shit. Said, no shit. No shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of them is actually his girl, Jody, the older brother.
Yeah.
So
that's his girlfriend. I was like, who are these people? I'm going to take you over to Sally. I think Sally and Susie, like you said. But yeah, I was like, who are these chicks that, you know, that Jody's just dropping off Mike with? Like, and they have like a, like I said, like they seem like they work at the store or something, right? I mean, it's like some kind of pawn shop or collection place, whatever the fuck it is. But
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty.
Yeah, they both work there, I guess. Or one works there and the other one visits, I guess.
The other one's there just to get hammered and shit and bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you do it. Like my buddy Ray used to do when he used to come over to the gym. He wouldn't be there to work out. He would just be there to bullshit. So you know, all that shit happens. They open up the freezer and then they find like Tommy in the back of the freezer. Like he's like shrunk. Oh no, that's when the car crashes. But they put Tommy in that freezer or Reggie puts the yeah. That's what happens, yeah.
When the self-driving car, the supposedly self-driving car crashes, they open it up, they see Tommy, of course, he's compressed like 3 feet, and they're like, Tommy, you know, and then they put him in the fucking ice cream truck, and man, that's a health code violation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what happens, and then the ice cream truck, like they like you know Reggie's like driving, and you just hear, you know, and if and it tips over, and that's when like that's when that's why the chicks stop because they find the ice cream truck and all that bullshit, and that's when Mike shows back up to the house, and he's crying, he takes a swig of fucking Jody's beer, and he's like they got you know Sally or whatever, and Reggie, and. He's like, I want you to get upstairs. He's like, I'm not letting you go by yourself. What are you son of a bitch? He's like, he takes him upstairs. Like, I always remember that one stair like gimmick that gets broken because like it's like consistent throughout the film, and I love that. But he takes him back upstairs, dude. And when I was a kid, like I would really wanted to try this. Like, he locks Michael into the room, and that's when he tapes that shotgun shell to the hammer and puts like a little button behind it and blows up his fucking door, dude.
That's exactly what I was saying about this kid. He is very like he's very clever. He's very smart, but as smart and everything and all the cool skills that he has, like being a mechanic, figuring out how to open the door with a shotgun shell, you know, taped to the end of a hammer just to blow it off. I mean, this kid is like, he's going through something because he's chasing Jody. He's following him everywhere because he lost his parents. He's afraid of losing his brother. And then at this point, now he's even more concerned because now he's seeing monsters about and he's like seeing things. And then his brother's going off to go ahead and fight or deal with these monsters. And then it's just this kid is amazing. I'm just like, man, I'm just like I am just really like I'm more excited for him to know what kind of person he is, like how smart and clever he is. It just blows my mind on him though.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
You could say, Gabe, he's the original MacGyver.
Oh, he is. That's all I should have said. He just needed a stick of bubble gum, some toothpicks, and a wire or something. He's gonna go ahead and wire up a bomb or something, and then send these damn monsters straight to hell without even trying. But then he'll still go ahead and chase after his brothers. I'm scared. I don't want to lose you. I'm like,
yeah.
Geez, calm down, kid.
He's fearless, and we forgot to mention he drives a dirt bike too, dude. Don't forget about that, dude.
I completely forgot about that damn dirt bike. But if you think about it, in the whole beginning of this damn movie, when he was riding his dirt bike, he was riding all around in the cemetery. Like, not in the roads or on the side, but he's, like, disgracing the cemetery plot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's completely just driving over him, and, like, where the hell is the old man to go ahead and tell him, hey, you can't do that. You know, stop it. You know, just shut up or something. You know, get off that damn bike. Don't be doing that.
No, instead what the old man does, instead what the tall man does is he, like, there's something where the kid just accidentally falls off the bike for no reason.
Yeah, that's when you hear that same boom, that same sound you hear when Reggie's driving the ice cream truck, and you hear that. I guess that's the tall man making you crash now that we're putting all these pieces together. I guess that's what it is because it happens like two or three times. But, yeah, when he's riding the dirt bike, you're like, you know, and I was laughing. I was like, so he was so, you know, like you start seeing things. And, like, to me, Wes Craven took a lot of ideas from this movie, like as far as like the dreams and, you know, all kinds of shit like that. And then I saw this and I was like, well, this reminds me, like, I see Eddie Furlong or John Connor from Terminator 2. And I was like, well, this is the original badass driving a dirt bike everywhere. You know, all that shit, you know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I really believe like a lot of these newer movies, and I have to agree with you that they had to have spawned or got some kind of idea or impression from not even just this movie, but other original old horror movies that you know they made their impression and way into like these newer movies, especially like you said, like John Connor. You know, riding that damn dirt bike. I'm like, no, I don't think so. This damn kid is the one who did it.
Yeah.
He should have been.
Because, like, you know, I don't even think about it until right now, actually. It's like, what's John Connor doing in the beginning of Terminator 2? Like, oh, he's so smart. He knows how to hack fucking ATMs, taking out money and all. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you know, this is blow up a door with a shotgun shell. Let's start off light, okay?
Yeah, we don't have internet right now.
that was the extent of that was the equivalent of fucking hacking into an ATM back then. It's like being able to blow down a door with a hammer and a shotgun shell, dude. It's like the same thing.
That was the invention of the wheel right there. Yeah. Everybody else just made their better impression of that wheel.
Yeah, it's like, okay, how are we going to make this guy over and clever? And yeah, like I saw that, I was laughing. I forgot what else he was doing, but like I saw that and I was like, man, this guy driving a dirt bike, it reminds me a lot of John Connor, not just because of the dirt bike, it's just because he's so like y'all were talking about MacGyver-ish, where he just comes up with all these gimmicks. He's like, he has a lot of good ideas. He's fearless. He's like worried about his mom once he understands all the bullshit. And then like the same thing, like I didn't really like think about it like from what you're saying, like he already lost his parents. He doesn't want to lose his brother. So like he's even more fearless and he's like doing all these things. Like he's like, nah, I'm not going to stay in here while you go out there and take on this tall man that I saw carry a 500-pound casket. What were you saying, Chris, about the casket when you first saw it? You're like, what the fuck?
I've been a pallbearer a million times, and like I don't care if the dead person inside it weighed 98 pounds soaking wet. All six of you are gonna carry that thing. You're like, damn, this is heavy.
I'm gonna take that part. I've been a pallbearer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, I'll say it again if you want.
No, you're good, dude. It's funny as hell.
And three things on top of that. Number one, so this fucking tall man is the original T-1000 because instead of have you seen this boy? It's boy.
Yeah. Have you seen this boy? Exactly. See, I didn't even think about that. I'm telling you, like, a lot of people took from this and, like, you know, like, the tall man's supposed to be fucking Robert Patrick. That's his name, right? Robert Patrick's supposed to be a tall man. But just saying, boy, have you seen this boy?
would it be right to say that Jody would be Arnold Schwarzenegger? Because remember at the end of Terminator 2 when he's going down in flames?
Oh, exactly.
Arnold Schwarzenegger gives that thumbs up. Doesn't Jody do that similar thing in here too? Remember towards the end?
Yeah.
He ends up lifting up his hand and his fist. He doesn't actually say goodbye or anything. He just lifts up his arm and fist and Mike, the little boy, ends up looking up at him and he's all like, all right, I did it.
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah.
And so I think that would probably be right to say that he would be Arnold Schwarzenegger then.
Yeah, for sure. Well, he's wearing the leather jacket. I mean, how many more coincidences are we going to fucking, you know, get this shit going? But yeah, that whole little ending thing, that's a really weird scene like, I love how it goes like in brackets and we've been going to. So they end up going, right? And then like Reggie, or going to the cemetery because Mike shows up there. I forgot how he runs that's what it is. He's walking in the mausoleum, and then that ball's coming at him, and then Jody jumps in and shoots the ball with the shotgun, and, you know, explodes. And he's all like, whatever, something, something, then Reggie just jumps out. He's all like, I was stuck in one of these things over here, whatever. And that's where they see, that's where they see those little, like, barrels with the little gimmicks in there, dude.
Yeah, did you see the foreshadowing to that, though, that room with those two metal bars, when you walk between them, you're suddenly in that alternate dimension or whatever the fuck. Like, that was foreshadowed when they played the song together and used the tuning fork. And right. Joe, you know about this. Like, that tuning fork didn't make the sound it normally would make.
I don't use a tuning fork, dude. That's too old school for me. It is. But the fucking... They go to that one room. Like I said, they see all those barrels and they see those two pillars, and yeah, that's really like trippy as fuck that he like goes in there and he sees all that like Mars looking planet. He's like he shrinks them down, and then they're slaves, you know, like, and that, and then like the lights go out, and that's when they all hell break. And then like that one, like, you know, again, it seems like there was a lot of cuts in that as well, because like Reggie's outside.
I did read about that part, and that was the same thing too. That there was a big cut in there. The idea was that Reggie and Jody were also supposed to be in that portal where, again, with that whole tuning fork, those big old poles there, that led to, like, that other dimension, that other world, where they were saying that, where Mike ended up seeing all those little doors, monster doors.
Those Nancy and... Matas.
Yeah. Oh, they're not that bad.
Yeah, they end up all separated. Like, I knew, like, I was like, what the fuck? And that's it, it. This is so weird because, like, I'll just kind of clump it all together because it's there's so much talking points. Is that we see Reggie get stabbed in the stomach, and I'm like, what the fuck? He, you know, he dies, the lady in lavender, and, you know, he's got the knife, and there's like this crazy storm going on. And how do y'all remember how the fuck they get to. Well, he's chasing Mike. That's what it is. He's like chasing Mike, and Mike runs. And I don't know how they kind of come. You know, there's like major cuts, like you were saying earlier, because they have like a whole trap set up. But they kind of like talk about it, like you're gonna lure him or whatever, and blah blah blah. And he jumps over that little spot, and the tall man falls into that pit of doom, or whatever the fuck. And the movie ends, but there's so much shit going on. Cause like Reggie sees like the lady in lavender, and then he goes to help him. Like I said, he gets stabbed, and it's really the tall man. And then Reggie's there at the end of the movie, and he's talking to him. And I'm like, well, Reggie just got stabbed to death. So like that whole ending thing. I mean, what the? Well, y'all, I guess you know. I mean, I know when I was a kid, I was like super fucking confused because I'm like, what the fuck? So this did this not happen, or did this happen? And then you know he says it like You know, Mike, that tall man of yours isn't real and all this and that. And, you know, Jody died in a car wreck.
Yeah, it was bizarre to me, too. It's like, was this all a dream? Like, what the fuck is all... Like, yeah, and then he goes to the tombstone, died in 1978, and he's sitting there with him and the fucking, you know, saying, hey, we just need a good road trip. And he died in a car accident. It's like, okay, well, what the fuck? Yeah, it trips you out, but, you know... a little good head fuck like that, a little psychological horror here and there. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I was definitely, watching this on VHS a long time ago, that this was one of those rewind moments because I thought I missed something. I didn't understand what the heck I just saw. I was like, oh, so nothing happened, or was this a dream? Or really, did something happen and I completely missed it. I think I ran to the bathroom or something and I came back and yeah. And that happened. So, yeah, that was definitely a rewind moment. One of the things that kind of irked me, though, that I thought it was kind of silly, though, the whole movie was doing so great. It's so epic. I love the darn movie. But I don't know what idea that came across them that thought, like, yeah, we're gonna drop them in this hole. And we're going to put some rocks over him, and he's done. And then by the end, when Mike is he's sitting there with Reggie, and Reggie's like, look, man, you just had a bad dream. And Mike, the little boy, he's talking to himself. He's actually saying, I don't think that's going to hold him. I don't think that's going to hold him at all. He can make his way out. It's not going to hold him at all. Well, no shit, it's not going to hold him. All you did was... You put this, like, malevolent old man monster in a hole, and you put rocks on him. You didn't curse it. You didn't do anything. All you did was just dump a bunch of rocks. And I just thought that was, like...
Yeah.
That was a terrible way of, like, trying to put him down.
You can't put him on that easy. That mother's strong.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
That mother's strong.
That was a great response there. I love that. Again,
we'll put a stake to his goddamn heart. That's what Reggie says.
Oh, man.
Give me shit, man. That brother's strong. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, but for him to talk to Reggie like that, knowing that he's like an older, you know, older figure, and he's telling him, he's like, nah, man, that mother's strong. Like,
yeah.
He said it with such confidence. I love that.
There's a lot of good quotes, like you said. I forgot about that. I know those rocks aren't going to hold him. You know, he's like talking about it. You're like, you're just kind of like not really thinking about it because you're just kind of like, what the fuck? Because like when he's saying that, me, I'm just kind of like, what the fuck's going on? You know, like was this a dream or not a dream? And he's talking about these rocks because it's so real to him because it was real or whatever. And this is when I was talking about that whole Wes Craven thing, because you know how, like, Nancy walks out of her house at the end of Nightmare on Elm Street, and she's all like, oh, it was just a dream. She's like, you know, all this and that. And then Freddy, you know, pulls the mom through the fucking, through the door. Well, Mike goes upstairs, and it was, I'll tell you the Christopher J part that, you know, will pop for it. But, so he goes upstairs, right, and you hear that badass, well, you hear multiple, you know, things. I have to say, dude, every time I drink, about 9 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10, being conservative, I always got to put on, like that one Sitting Here at Midnight song. I fucking love when they're in the front yard jamming out to that shit. Well, yep. It's so badass when, you know, when Reggie, you know, it's like you have, you know, your life sucks. Your parents, you know, died. Your fucking brother died. You don't know. You had this horrible fucking nightmare. And he's all like, you know what we need is a change of scenery, you know? He's like, well, where will we go? He's all like, well, we'll figure that out when we get there. And you're like, when you're, can you imagine being in 78 or whatever, you're young, there's not that much entertainment. You have nothing really to live for anymore. Your freaking family's all dead. And you're like, hey, dude, don't worry. Let's just get out of here and, you know, let's try to have fun. You're like, yeah, dude, fuck, you know, what else am I going to do, right? And you kind of feel that sense of, like, you could see, like, his smile kind of like, yeah, I guess that's all there is left to do, because we really don't have a time frame and how long Jody's been dead. But then he starts jamming out that you know, riff, and you just kind of get those memories of when Jody and Reggie were in the front yard jamming out together. And then Mike goes upstairs, and you hear that, you know, that badass little shit. And then he sees Jody's picture. He closes the door. The tall man's, you know, behind him, boy, and then rips him through. And you just hear, you know, all that bullshit and those fucking. And I was like, and then boom, I was like, holy shit, dude, this is like unbelievable. Fucking, how can you condense like all this? There's hardly any other movie I can think of that has such an over-ass 3 minutes of emotion and, you know, surprise if you've never seen it after, you know. Unbelievable, dude. What do you think about the ending, Chris?
I thought it was fantastic. Like, the movie, I really, as a whole, I don't have really much criticism of the movie. I mean, little nitpicky things here and there, but that's going to be with any movie, though. On balance, the movie's great. The ending was great. Like, it's that ending that it's horrifying, it's creepy. You know, you're at a point where you think things might turn out okay, you know, go home, happy audience, all that stuff, and nope.
Yep, not doing that. You know what the funniest thing was, Gabe, dude? So I'm over here, right? Like I tell you, I'll be drinking, I'll be watching, you know, watching these clips. And before Chris had seen the movie, I would regularly, you know, once every few months, put on the Phantasm ending because I like the music and the little singing, like I had just explained, right? Mm-hmm. And fucking Chris. Oh my god. I don't know how he worded it, but it was, I'll give you my version and he'll give you his version. But he's all like, yeah, I was like, let's do Phantasm as our review before I had even talked to you about doing it. Like I had talked about him, like that the next film we were going to do is like, let's do Phantasm. He had told me actually, he's like, let's do Phantasm. You're always showing me these clips and stuff like that. Let's do that. I was like, yeah, you know, let's go ahead and do that. And he goes something like, I want to see how this guy Jody ends up with this little young, you know, 14, 15 year old girl. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean this guy? And he goes, yeah. He's all like, isn't that little girl's boyfriend? Because he had a picture of him at the end. I started laughing. And I was like, that's his brother. He's like, oh, that's a boy.
It wasn't that. It was the ending scene with Reggie because they were sitting there by the.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, when he sees. Oh, you thought Reggie? Even funnier.
That's what I thought. Like he's sitting there, and I'm thinking, I'm seeing this, and I'm thinking Mike is a chick. I didn't know his name is Mike. I didn't know it was a Michael Baldwin or whatever the fuck. And so I'm seeing this, and the way he's talking to him, and I'm thinking, okay, here's some creepy McCreature weirdo stalker guy. Who's like, you know, some cult leader type who's hooked this young girl into loving him or whatever. And that's what I'm thinking.
That's right. It's even funnier. Because I'm like, no, I thought Reggie was with that little girl. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then it's even funnier when when fucking Mike looks at that picture of Jody like that was his ex-boyfriend or something like that. That's what it was. I was like, what?
That's right. That's true. That's right.
That's why I got confused. He's like, I want to know how this guy Reggie's ends up with this like 15-year-old chick, dude. You know, like, you know. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, yeah. And then he said, like, that was his ex-boyfriend that died in a car wreck.
That's what I thought.
It was. It made everything worth it. I was like, oh, now we have. I was like, that's my A. Michael Baldwin, dude. The other Baldwin that's not related to any of the Baldwins, dude. But. Yeah, I popped for that. I was like, oh, my God, Chris, that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard anyone say about it. Because, I mean, he sounds like a chick, but I wouldn't, like, just him summarizing the ending like that, it made me pop for it. But, yeah, dude, I mean, over-ass fucking movie, typically at the end of our bullshit, we kind of, like, just kind of give a little, you know, what we thought about it, a rating. Like, for me, this is, like, we usually do the 10 scale because 5's too easy. But it's, like, for me, it's, like, a 10 out of 10, like, I love this film so much. I've seen it so many times, and like it never gets old. I love the music. I think the Tall Man's one of the most underrated, you know, fucking horror icons. They're like people always talk about Freddy and Jason and Halloween, you know, Michael Myers, but like the Tall Man is like so underrated because he's like he doesn't say a lot, but everything that he does say is so memorable. You know what I mean? So, I mean, a classic for me, dude. But Gabe, what do you got to say about Phantasm, dude? And Nancy?
Oh, man. And Nancy. well, as far as the movie goes, the movie is great. I love the movie. The blood scene with that whole sentinel, the spear, that whole action sequence. The Tall Man himself, like you said, he has his memorable moments, like his great quotes. You know, like one of his great quotes that I love was that. He ended up saying, "Oh, you played a good game, boy. But the game is over.
Yeah.
Now you die." I'm like, "Oh, geez.
Yeah.
This kid's got to run."
So, yeah.
Overall, I'm giving this, like, seriously, like, if we're doing this whole 1 to 10, I'm giving it a strong 8. Not the 10. The reason, though, for this is, again, that the whole editing. Editing, it's like such. I like to chalk it up to the movie just being like, oh, okay, well, this movie is just being mysterious. It's being, you know, it's leaving a whole bunch of quirks out there. But honestly, like, reading into this and looking, they said they ended up losing some footage.
Yeah.
Transferring this movie to VHS. And I'm like, at some point or another, I'm questioning, like, how in the world did you lose so much film or so many clippets, you know, just going to VHS, you know, someone dropped it in the trash or something, or I don't understand how that happened, but it's just the editing. The only reason why I would give this a little downgrade on that.
Yeah. No, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
That's really my take on it, but the characters, especially the Tall Man themselves, I mean, they were all great. And how they opened up the world coming in part 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, the story ends up getting better. But just going off number one, just only assuming that there was no 2, 3 or whatever, just this alone, it would just be the editing. That's the only thing that would really hold me back on this.
To give this movie a 10, and that's not easy to do, especially with horror, because, you know, and Joey knows this, and Gabe, I'll let you in on this now, you know, because it's your first conversation with me, but
unless I was drunk one night, Daddy, and he winks at him.
but horror has never really been my go-to genre, but it's been fun, like, checking out these horror movies and everything, and some are better than others, and some of them just plain suck, and some of them are pretty damn fun and pretty damn good. And, of course, the first two in every franchise is always fun, those first two. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll get lucky and have a good third one. This one This first one of Phantasm is fucking awesome. Like, great movie. I think, you know, we've been saying, so this is the original this, and so-and-so is the original that. You know, the tall man is the original Undertaker, if you think about it, because here's this tall guy who, you know, everything he does, there's no waste of motion. Everything he does something, and it has some kind of psychological effect on you. It's fucking great. And the irony is, he actually is an Undertaker. He works in a mortuary. So,
he's the real one, yeah. He's the first
real one, yeah. Yep. And tall, just like Mark Calloway, and you know, fucking that just frightening loop, that stern voice, that frightening voice. It's just great fucking movie. You love Redney, you love Jody, you love Mike. There's some things as far as, like you said, the editing was less than perfect, but on a $300,000 movie in 1978, what do you expect? But I will tell you this: if you were in high school or middle school in 78 to 79 school year, you had an awesome school year as far as horror movies go, because think about this. In late October, you had Halloween 1, and in late March, you had this. So lucky you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I, you know, like, you guys are talking about the editing so much. I forgot about you remember when Reggie goes into the house and that fucking maid that we only see once in the fucking films. I'm like, you boys back again? I was like, what the fuck?
Exactly. That's like one of those moments. I had no idea. Where in the world did she come from? Who is she? Why is she even in the house? Whose house is this?
It was funny. I was going to tell Chris at the beginning. I was like, is there any black people in this film, like, playing a joke? And then I was like, oh, yeah, the maid's black.
That's right.
Yeah, and I looked at the credits. I didn't even know she was a maid. I had no idea who she was. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the credits ended up labeling her as a maid. So I guess at some point or another, you know, she had more of a background story, I guess. But at that point, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. some footage got lost. So
yeah, I think I just saw, like, cause I had seen it so many times. Like I said, like, I remember just seeing her outfit. I think she was like wearing like a gimmick maid outfit. I think I may just be saying that because, yeah, I probably heard, you know, Don Coscarelli talking about it on one of those commentaries. But I was like, who, you know, like. You know, back again, we've said it, you know, we can go IMBD or whatever and see, like, oh, who's this or whatever, and we'll find it out. But back then, you're just like, who the fuck was that? And you just have to come up with your own theories. And that's what made shit so fun, is that you can just, you know, not have anybody's ideas. You just went with what you thought or you talked about, you know, and all that other shit. Like, the same way, like, kids back then, they would say, is wrestling real or not? When they're like 8 years old, they're like, so fucking, you're like, wait a minute, let's, you know, if it wasn't real, how come Cactus Jack was bleeding the fuck out of himself on, you know, on that last year? Like, if that wasn't real, why the fuck did that happen? You know, so, yeah, awesome film. I mean, the tall man, like you had said, like, every move that he does, you're like, how many people could just stand there or look at you and, like, just give you that, like, oh shit kind of feeling? And, like, he does that, like, throughout the entire film, when he has like that underbite kind of stare and all kinds of weird shit, you know what I mean? And I just love the film. I can't wait to get to the rest of them, dude. So hopefully Gabe will join us for those, dude. At least this franchise, because Chris has already jumped the gun and he went into watching Phantasm Part 2, dude. So Chris, I know, you know, I mean, I have you seen the entire film already, or what's going on with that, dude?
I have seen the entirety of Part 2, and I have a positive disposition toward it. It's not as good as this one, but yeah. Sequels, you know, that's a tough road to hold, you know.
Yeah, but you're still enjoying it, right? This, I think this is one of the few franchises where they're all pretty damn good, dude. Like, where they're all like strange and entertaining in their own way. It's not like I can't think of a shitty franchise right now, but yeah, it's over like a son of a bitch. I'm one of those weird motherfuckers that like the older, I like the latter Hellraisers rather than the originals, just because I like strange, like, I love, well, hopefully we could do it one day, is Hellraiser Inferno, dude, like Part 5, I think it is. No one likes it, but I love it. So.
I agree with you on that one. I love the Inferno one. And Bloodline was great for me, only because I like the back history that they give on these characters.
Yeah.
Part 2 was awesome, only because of
the fight.
The battle with the Cenobite.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as, like, bad, you know, franchises, I would probably have to go with, I don't know how many people would agree with this. It would probably be Jaws.
Yeah.
I mean, part two was great. One was like, okay, it was epic at that time. Part three just kind of, part three didn't go anywhere for me.
And then they have like the fourth one. It's called The Revenge. Even though that,
yeah,
it, technically it should be part two, right? But it's like part four. Like, well, we're gonna name part four The Revenge, and you're like, what the fuck? You know, I'm confused. This, I was like,
it's the Shark family, you know, the cousin, the brother, and you know, that's all it is. It's the same damn species. Just they're all labeled different. That's all the cousins and coming back for revenge and all that.
The Shark's ancestors, yeah, no, good shit, but. Yeah. Can't wait to get into the rest of them, but I hope you guys enjoyed us talking about Phantasm. We'll continue to talk about them, like I said, but we'll go ahead and see you guys on the next one.
Peace.